Hey guys, you're listening to the Mompreneur podcast. Today, my guest, she is a consigning businesswoman. She has a full-time job. She is a mom. She is a pet owner. She has multiple hats, and she is going to talk all about it today on the Mompreneur, all about her business, Happy Elephant Consignment. So please welcome Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca, why don't you tell everyone all about you and your business?
Hello. Thanks for having me. So I am Rebecca B. from the Happy Elephant Consignment. I started a consignment reselling business just about a year and a half ago, really when the COVID quarantine was just starting. I was at a juncture in my own life where I have a full-time day job working with a local university, and I have an 8-year-old son. I'm a mom, and I had been divorced for just about a year, and our divorce just became finalized. And I found myself, when on the weeks that I didn't have my son with me, wondering what I was going to do with all my free time. I'm one of those people that likes to be busy, and when the quarantine hit for COVID, I was at home, and so I didn't even have a long commute, and I just found myself with a lot of additional free time that I wasn't expecting. And so I was trying to keep myself busy, and I also have a terrible shopping addiction. I am a total shopaholic. I love clothes. I love fashion. I love style. So I was trying to explore my hobbies and see kind of what I should put my efforts and time toward. And at the same time, as anybody I'm sure can relate, when you're a single parent, you find yourself in a single income phase. So any extra money coming is helpful. So I was trying to put all of those ideas together, and I decided to start a Poshmark closet for my clothing. So for those of you who don't know what Poshmark is, it's just the reselling platform for, you know, new goods or just things out of your own closet. I think that's how they started, is just, you know, sell your own clothing to other people looking at a discount price. And so I just started taking pictures in my bedroom and loading them up, and I found that they were selling really fast. I have plus size clothing because I'm plus sized, and it just was really in demand. A lot of the brands that I buy, again, I like quality clothing. So it took off faster than I was expecting. And so I started kind of thinking how I could expand it beyond my own closet and how it would be easy. And a friend of mine suggested doing consignment. She was just starting to do it herself, and she had an Instagram page, Magpie Consignment. And she was wonderful in teaching me kind of how you just work with people in the neighborhood and friends, you know, and say, hey, like, I'll sell that for you. I'll take pictures of it and we'll split the profits. And so that's really how my business came to fruition. It was just kind of little bits and pieces here and there. I just started on Instagram, on Poshmark. And when I found things were selling really fast, I said, I think I can make this like my own actual business. So then I went in a matter of like 3 months, really just putting my efforts into launching a full-blown business, you know, getting and everything. And it's just grown from there. And I find it so fulfilling because as a mom and working from home with my full-time job, I was just at a kind of a loose ends. And this really is a way to kind of put on another hat and do something that's fulfilling, but also beneficial for my household.
Okay. So with you, okay. So I know you said that when your son is gone, is that basically when you start doing the pictures? And because with the full-time job, how do you balance the son, the business, and the full-time job?
Yes. I try to be pretty diligent about compartmentalizing. So I do the bulk of my side business work when I don't have my son with me. So we do a week on, week off schedule, which is really helpful in a lot of ways because it gives me like a full week to kind of do inventory. So I'll meet with clients and get their items anytime that's convenient to them, and then I will go through them one by one and kind of inventory them, inspect them, create a spreadsheet, and do all of that before I even start photographing. And I can do that in evenings easily, and here and there on the weekends, 8 o'clock in the weekend morning when my son is eating breakfast and, playing on his iPad. That's what I'll be doing, is just going through clothing. And then the photographing is what takes the bulk of the time, the styling and putting it on the mannequin and the lighting and all. And you need kind of a clean space, which is another working mom challenge. Clean area. So I work on that when he's not with me. And then I actually just am in the process of launching my first brick and mortar shop. Yes, we are launching this month. September 10th is our grand opening, and we've been doing kind of a quiet opening with a friend of mine who has bought another space in the area, and she's known for kind of antiques and consignment. So I have a dedicated clothing space. And so now I set all my clothes up there and I can photograph there. So I'm trying to kind of kill two birds with one stone and make the most of my space and my time.
So is this something, since you're opening in a brick and mortar and you have the consignment, are you kind of more leaning towards, I want to quit that full-time job and just focus on this? Or are you just kind of like, I'm cool with wearing the multiple hats?
That's a great question. Everybody asks me that question, and I would honestly love to quit and do this full time. It's so much fun and fulfilling to me, and I feel like it's kind of my missed calling. If I could go back to college or back to my, 20 somethings and put my efforts towards fashion merchandising and sustainable, reselling, that's probably what I would do. However, I will say, being a single mom, you know how it is. You do have to wear those multiple hats, and I have to think about things like the boring stuff, benefits, and working for a university. I have wonderful health benefits for me and my son, and I get college tuition benefits. And so the costs climb, and I'm looking down the road. He's only eight now, but I can't help but think if I stay in the college system, he'll get a free education, and that means everything right now. So I'm not quitting anytime soon, but I am lucky that my job, I'm pretty high level. I hold a VP position, and it allows me some flexibility that as like I do my job, but I can carve out time to do the other things. And so this is equally as important. It just doesn't pay all the bills in the same way.
I totally understand that. I get that. And then, so when you went to the consignment, how many clients did you have? Do you see more clients now, or do you see like a decrease since it kind of opened? Well, kind of closing, kind of opening, whatever we're doing. Are you seeing like a fluctuation in clients? Do you see a fluctuation in sales? How steady is that for you?
Yeah, it has been very up and down. When I first started, it boomed. And I think, with any business that you're starting, there's a direct correlation with how successful you are by how much effort you put in. So when I decided to take this seriously, I went full speed ahead. And there were a lot of guides and like how to start your own business advice out there. And a lot of them said, like, take baby steps and don't bite off more than you can chew. And I totally thought I was like on the road to success and didn't need to listen and heed those warnings. And I am here to say, please do not bite off more than you can chew. Take time, because I went from 0 to 60 really fast. I advertised everywhere. I started selling on like five different platforms, and then like I stood up my own website as well. And I had so many clients coming to me that my living room, literally, you could not walk. It had so much clothing in it. And it was just, it got to a point where it was completely overwhelming. And that was totally my own fault because I was not limiting them. I wasn't really going through everything as carefully as I could have. What I was taking everything because I was like, I want more inventory, more inventory, more inventory. Lessons learned. I had to back away from that and kind of clear out and do a revamp and say, okay, I am not afraid of getting clients anymore. That's something that I know I can do. So now I have to be more strategic about the clients that I work with and the items that I choose. And so that's where I'm at now. I took a nice long break through the spring, and I moved and I was doing some things in my personal life, again, compartmentalization. So I put all my sales on hold and I focused on cleaning out my inventory and I just kind of revamped, and now I'm launching with the brick and mortar along with revamping my website. And I'm just going to sell on two platforms plus in person and make it very streamlined and more useful for my time. Now that I know kind of what's successful, what's working, where people are coming from, what is going to sell, it's a lot easier for me.
So what are those two platforms, Poshmark and...
Poshmark and Instagram.
Okay, so how do you do on Instagram? What do you do for Instagram? So for those moms who are like, I kind of want to do Instagram, but I'm really nervous about it because you have a young son, you're a single mom. So let's dive into that. How do you handle the whole Instagram and being in front of Instagram and all of that?
So my son's favorite line is definitely, "Mom, take a break from your phone." I think he learned how to say that when he was like 3 years old. And it has been a constant theme in our household. But now he kind of is, he's eight, he's older. He gets it. He wants a little more alone time himself. He doesn't want me nagging him. So again, I can't stress this enough. It's all about compartmentalization. I have certain times that I dedicate to just spending time with him, and it's no phone time. I put it away. I'll sit with him and watch a movie, or we'll play some games or read or whatever. And that's the take a break from your phone time. The rest of the time, I'll maybe sit with him and kind of enjoy time with him, but I will be on Instagram. And again, like once you take the photos of the items, you have to edit them. And then you post them with the descriptions and all of that. And I'm all about using your time effectively. So I've tried some vendors. There's things like Vendu and List Perfectly where you can cross post to places. But again, you know, you're paying more for those services. And in the end, do you really need it? So what I focused on was just, okay, Poshmark is kind of my main sales setup. So I make sure that everything goes there first. And then it's just a matter of copying and pasting. I can copy and paste the description right into Instagram, load the pictures, and boom, it's done.
So do you actually have people, because I was looking at your Instagram earlier and I saw that you have the pictures on there. Is that how people buy, or do they buy from your shop? Because I also noticed you have the shop now. So how is it, what do you get the majority of your sales when you get sales?
So now that I have my website, I work with WordPress as my main platform for my website. And it kind of acts as, it's happyelephantconsignment.com, and it acts as my blog and also my own shopping online site. And what is the benefit to that, to using that platform, is that it will link directly with Instagram and Facebook. So when I put an item up on my shop, it will automatically load into the Instagram shop store. And so that saves me an immense amount of time. And so now that's how I'm going to be doing everything, is I just load it. I load it first on the Poshmark, then I put it on my own website, and then it filters automatically to Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And if they buy through Instagram, they can go to the shop feature and like purchase it through Instagram, or they can go to happyelephantconsignment.com and purchase it there. It's really up to whatever is easiest for them.
So do you have quite a bit? So how did you get sales on Instagram? Do you do any live sales or do you just do the picture sale? I know it's not picture sale.
Yeah. I've done, I don't know what to call that either. Static sales maybe, but I have done both. I was really nervous and shy about doing a live sale. But they're fun and it kind of gets people interacting with your social media account. And so the live sales are really fun. They take a little bit of prep and planning, but at the end of the day, if you sell, you know, half of the items through the live sale, that's a lot less work than having to promote and sell one by one other places. So I really like the live format. I think it's a good way to engage with your customers and it's just really fun. However, it does take, like, I have to have concentrated hours and, again, the clean space and everything to right. do that. So it's much easier, you know, for me just on a random, you know, Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock when I'm taking a break to load up a few items into the shop and, you know, they can sell anytime. So it's definitely a balance, but I like both. I find that my local customers, they're more likely to shop on the live sales because and they'll shop directly from Instagram. So people that live in my community that I'm friends with and it's grown locally through word of mouth because they can just pick stuff up. So they'll be like, I want that and I'll come by next Tuesday and pick it up. And so it works better than the people who are looking to have things shipped.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So when you went and advertised, okay, so we're going back to the beginning again. We're like jumping all over the place. So yes, you advertised, you said you started with your friends for saying, hey, so how did you approach that? Because a lot of people think that's like the, I feel like that's like the stigmatism that when you go and you do reselling to ask somebody or tell them what they do, like a lot of people are afraid to be like, oh, I'm a reseller. I resell stuff. How did you break that barrier and how did you start that conversation?
It's a good question. And it's still something that I'm trying to figure out kind of. It really depends on the personalities that you're interacting with. I most of my business and where it started was definitely consignment. So I'm clear that I was reselling my own clothes. And then when I started working with friends of mine, it was definitely like a consignment point of view. Like, you give me the clothing, I'll give you 40% of the profits. And, you know, I'm very clear that their platform fees and everything take away from that. I try to be professional in letting them know upfront, like, if I sell the shirt for $20, here's what you expect to make in profit, and here's what I'll make. So they understand what they're getting into and they don't expect to walk away with, you know, an unreasonable expectation at the end. However, I think that they're just looking for their items to be valued because they love them so much. And that's, I think that's what I really bring to the consignment conversation is like rescuing these items that are just going to go to a thrift store and go into the abyss or go into landfill, like give them to somebody who can love them, appreciate them as much as you did.
Right.
And I think people, they don't necessarily care as much about the money as they do. Like, I really loved that blouse and I'm sad it doesn't fit anymore. And I wish somebody could use it. And so that's the perspective that gets them hooked a little bit and they understand the value of it. And then if they can make a few bucks in the long run, all the much better because then they can buy their new wardrobe accordingly. However, the resale discussion, I think, is a little different. So I am an avid thrifter and I'll tell anybody, I'm not ashamed. Like, I am a total shopaholic, but I'm a bargain hunter. And I've always been that way since I was little. I would never pay full price for anything.
Come on now.
Yeah. And so I dig and dig and I like the hunt and I like, you know, finding good deals. So that's just what comes naturally to me. And I try, like, I want to bring that to other people. So I kind of look at myself more as a stylist and curator, because I'm going to do the thrill of the hunt and I'm going to find these gems and then I'm going to bring them to you so that you don't have to spend all the time hunting.
Right. That's a good way of looking at it. I like that.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of like, yes, I have to make a little bit of profit to make it worth my time so that I can do it. But in the end, I want to bring deals to everybody else too. So I'm not one of these resellers who will go and buy things at the dollar store and resell them for $10. And I think, you know, I'm just going to say it, like, I think resellers like that give the whole industry kind of a bad name a little bit, and it's hard to trust people. But again, it's just about building the relationships with your clients and your customers and being really honest. Like, yes, I'm going to fill up my shopping cart with this thrift stuff because you can't find it anywhere else. No, I can't find those shoes, and I'm going to sell them because they're worth, you know, a little bit of something just because of how unique they are and how good quality they are and the fact that I spent my time like hunting for them.
So would you say so this is for like everybody, because, you know, you've got those really, really high resellers that are like, okay, I want a pair of, we're going to use Ray-Bans, for example. I got found a pair of Ray-Bans at the dollar, or not the dollar store, the bins.
I wish you could buy Ray-Bans at the dollar store.
We'll say the bins for like 10 cents, okay? Or you go yard selling and you find them for like $2. Would you say, like, if you had a pair of Ray-Bans, would you be like the high price, like, okay, I'm going to sit on this for a while and get that $128 or $180 because they're vintage Ray-Bans? Or are you the, you know what, someone offers me $80, they're gone, or I'm just going to sell them for 3 times my money, which would be $10?
You know, I tend to be in the middle. I don't know. I try to be realistic about the value of something. If I, you know, I go to estate sales a lot, and you can get some pretty good bargains at estate sales. So if I find a hidden gem that turns out to be worth a lot, I'm going to charge what it's worth. But again, I want to bring that deal element. So if somebody offers me, you know, less, I'm most likely going to take the offer, or I won't price it. I never price at like MSRP amounts. Right. You know, people look at the price tags on things and charge that amount, and that will never be me. I usually go for like 50 to 65% off of the full price.
Okay, that makes sense. So when you're consigning and you have people bring you your stuff, do you tell them, like, do you give them an average, like, okay, I can possibly give you this amount, or do you just, when they're dropping them off, are they just giving you the clothes and saying, okay, whatever you can get for them is what you can get for them, or are they dropping you off like a pair of Nikes and are like, I spent $250 on them, I know they're worth $250, so I want close to $250.
It's a relationship. It definitely depends on the client and the item. I'm happy to accommodate both. So what I get most often is people dropping off a couple bags of things and saying, you know, go through it, see what you think. I'm just glad it's out of my house. And then when I show them, like, here's everything I'm accepting, and here's what I think it'll get, and here's what it would be, they're usually like, that's fine. And then sometimes I won't take everything. If I have items that I know won't sell for more than $5 or $8, it's not worth my time. So I just am like, no, I'll pass on that. And usually, and I offer to donate it on their behalf. So I go to the thrift stores all the time, and I have pickups almost weekly coming to my house and picking up donations. And so I offer to do that for them. But sometimes they want the items back, and so I give them the option. I'm like, here's the things I'm passing on. You can come pick it up, or I can donate it on your behalf. And they can choose. And then there's items that, actually, I'm working with a client right now. She's one of my best customers, and she has great stuff, but she had an Armani Exchange dress. And the dress was really cute, However, it's bright red. It's a maxi dress. It's kind of out of season. And so I told her what I thought it would sell for, and she was hoping for a little bit more. It was new with tags, and it didn't offend me at all. She's going to pick it back up and she'll try it elsewhere. And that's, you know, just part of the business. You want your clients to be happy, and I'm not trying to rip anybody off, but I also don't want to waste my time. So it's kind of that give and take.
Right. So do you plan on hiring anybody, or do you just, are you just like totally happy with where you're at right now and having this little shop?
I would love to hire help. And I have honestly tried. So when I was growing really fast, I hired people to do my pictures for me. I tried hiring people to do my listings. And what was the most effective for me was hiring people to bring my stuff from Poshmark over to my website, because I had, you know, I had had Poshmark for a long time, and then I was just launching my website. So I had, you know, about 500 items that needed to be put in. So I definitely paid for help. I like the high schooler, college student help. I'm all about giving people experience and kind of dabbling in these skills a little bit and seeing what it's like to be more entrepreneurial, you know, and that these things can happen. And plus, they tend to be really tech savvy and media savvy. So I usually look for people along those lines. However, it takes a lot of time to train someone. And then if you're a little bit of a perfectionist, I'm not saying I am.
Well, I think every reseller has that, like, this is my baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, they're like, this is my baby. I know I didn't give birth to it, but it's my baby.
That's right. I like that. That purse could be photographed on this angle and this angle.
Right?
It's a balance, but I'm always looking for extra help. But I'm not going to be at the point again, because I do have a full-time job where I'm throwing enough time into this probably to afford like a full-time assistant. I would love to, or even a part-time assistant. We'll see. Maybe it will grow and I can do that.
So during fourth quarter, what is your, because you do have your son, and I know fourth quarter is like the busiest time, and it's not really so busy probably at your job, but definitely is busy for reselling. What is your all-time go-to favorite meal to cook?
Ooh, good question. So I am not the best cook, and my son is not the best eater. So what I do is a lot of quick meals. Like, I'm all about the bento boxes and putting a bunch of chopped up things in the fridge and kind of grab and go. That's how I make my life function on a regular basis. But when it gets to be the winter time, then I do tend to like have some freezer meals and some crock pot. I'm all about my Instapot. So I would say chili is my go-to. Like, we have a family recipe that's a great chili recipe, and that is the best thing to make on a Sunday, and it will last until, you know, a couple of days later. And that's definitely the best for that time of year.
Nice. See, that's another thing is I never thought about chopped up. So do you spend a whole day like, okay, so do you spend your day? How do you break out your days? So let's say it's the week. Let's do both weeks, the weeks you have your son and the weeks you don't have your son. How do you break it up with the, we're doing the multi-hat thing, the cleaning the house, the laundry, the meals, the, do you do like, okay, say Saturday is my day of all prepping and laundry, and then Sunday is my day of rest with my son. How do you balance all of that? Like, do you have certain days you do things, or do you just kind of, oh, I got 2 seconds, I'm going to throw a load of laundry in?
Yeah, I'm definitely less of a planner in that area and more of a, oh my gosh, this bathroom is looking really terrible, I need to run a mop. I'll let stuff sit. And again, I have so many clothes, and I love to buy clothes for my son, that our laundry can sit and we will not run out. And so have to really schedule in laundry time so that I make sure things get, you know, turned and clean and it's not taking over. But I live in a really small apartment. I downsized, and part of the reason for that was like I didn't want any extra space that I wasn't using. I wanted to be efficient with my time and, you know, my money. So it's really helped in that area because, you know, the laundry is right in my kitchen. So I can be making dinner and turn laundry at the same time. Or, you know, I'm sitting here in my dining room doing my full-time job. And then if I get off of a conference call, I can just pop in and do the dishes in the sink real quick. And so that's kind of, I'll tell you, COVID quarantining for all the hassle and the stress has made this really possible because before that I was commuting an hour each way and I was always short on time. Now I feel like I can accomplish these things while I'm doing my full-time job, which has just been life-changing.
That's awesome. So for you, COVID was huge in a good way. Instead of
Yes.
bad way, like everybody else. No.
No, exactly. It's pluses and minuses, but that quality of life really, like, and the work-life balance has really improved. And I hope that continues because, you know, especially women, it's so hard for us to find that work-life balance. And there are a lot of things in our lives that need to be done. But then at the end of the day, we don't find time for ourselves.
Exactly.
Catering to, oh, our families and balancing our jobs. And then ourselves are the ones that get overlooked. So I'm glad I could kind of do this as a passion project. And I hope that other people can find stuff that fuels them as well.
So, what would be your main takeaway from all of this? Would be like, what would be your one piece of advice that you could give a woman that's kind of thinking about doing something? She's not sure yet, but she like doesn't want to lose, 'cause I feel like that's where everybody goes wrong, right? Is you have your kids and then women are like, we were taught by like June Cleaver and Peggy Bundy. Well, Peggy Bundy's like the opposite angle, but you know, there's like that middle ground of the two. You know, you have to do the housework. You don't have to be Peggy Bundy, but you don't have to be June Cleaver. You can be like this modern day woman that can multitask, but how do you do, like, what would be your advice to not lose yourself? Because your son is definitely younger than mine. So how would you give that advice of, okay, don't lose yourself to your husband, your job, your kids? What would be your main piece of advice?
I would say just remember that your own happiness is modeling for your kids how they find their happiness. So it continuing to be kind of the martyr or giving up pieces of yourself to serve the family's needs or your job, that only goes so far before that's the message that your kids are going to learn is that everybody else comes before them. And I guess what I had to learn, and I think divorce helped me with this, and just getting older and becoming a mother helped me learn to find my own voice a little bit and to recognize my own needs as just as important. Because if you're not happy, nobody else around you can be happy. And so I guess I justify the time. Yes, my son will complain sometimes. Yes, he makes sarcastic remarks that all you do is work. You're always on your phone, you know. But then at the other, there are times that he's like, I'm so proud of you. You know, I was really proud to show him my store, my shop. And he was like, can I sell things here too? So I set up a little area for him to sell his own stuff. And I feel like I'm leading by example that, you know, you have to make life fun. You have to do something that's fulfilling to you. And there's enough love and time to go around. It's just about balance.
Very true. I love that he wants to sell in your store. That's so cute.
He does. He loves like all the glittery jewelry and like gemstones and rocks. And so he collects them all and then he tries to sell them back.
That's
So he like is gonna set up this thing of like gemstones and crystals and rings, and it's very, very cute.
He's got to put like a little sign with like his picture, so everybody, you know, they get that guilt card right when they first walk in, you know, and they're like, oh, how cute, I gotta buy from him.
That's right. Elephant Junior.
Exactly. That's awesome. So what are your plans, since we're going into fourth quarter, what are your plans for this fourth quarter, or how do you hope your fourth quarter goes?
Well, I'm looking at it kind of as a relaunch, rebirth. So I'm just hoping to walk away with like that feeling of accomplishment, that it's up and running. And so then I have kind of my systems in place for maintaining. I felt like the last few months I've been in growth mode, or like redesign mode and reconstructing, and it's hard to be constantly reinventing the wheel. So I want to get to the point by, you know, the new year where I am just running and I'm not creating as much from scratch anymore.
Right.
That's my biggest hope. And I will say, last year I felt like something came up in my personal life and I kind of missed out on the holiday sales a little bit. I was really late in posting a lot of my holiday goodies. This year I'm ready for it. I already have the Halloween stuff out, the Thanksgiving stuff out, and I'm ready for Christmas. So I feel a little on top of my A game. And if that stuff sells, that will make me happy.
I'm like, wow, because I still have, I mean, my house is like what you were talking about. Like, I went full blown. Like, I got to have inventory, got to have inventory. Because I think for like us, and a couple, I'm sure other people felt this way too, weren't sure what was going to happen next. You know, when everything closed, I think certain people got into like panic mode. And I want to say that was kind of like what we did. We like went out yard selling and bought like a ton. In case things closed again, we were ready. You know, we're like, okay, we got enough stuff to last. And then it was like if we go to a bartering system, we're cool. We've got jackets, we've got shoes, we've got, you know, we can barter for food and stuff, you know? And we just kind of like jam packed. And now I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, I got too much stuff.
Yes, and it was really hard for me to get to that point and have to let stuff go, especially when you know, like, oh, it's so cute, oh, it'll sell, somebody should have this. I took bags and bags to donation. It was just like, you know, my time is worth something, so I'm gonna focus on what will really allow me to continue this journey instead of drowning me.
That's awesome. See, I'm going the complete opposite way. I'm like, okay, let's do pop-up sales, let's do this, let's eliminate this, let's do mystery boxes, let's just go.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was like 6 months ago.
I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I buried myself. And then with the consigning, that's kind of where I gotta admit, that is a totally awesome outlet. Like, if nobody's tried that, you're on to like the awesomest thing. And I don't know if you've heard of it, and I'm probably telling you something you already know, but there's that, I think it's called Flip, I don't know. And it's like a little app where you can consign with people. And I started doing that, and it's like, consigning is awesome.
Like, no, actually, I haven't heard of that. So you'll have to let me know what app that is.
Oh, yeah, I will tell you. We'll talk about that. But yes, I mean, because you don't have to have a contract, because it's all done through there, because that was my biggest thing, was the contract. And I know you and I were talking, and I had reached out to you before and asked you, how do you do this? Are you actually thinking about doing a book? Are you thinking about selling your contracts? Any juicy new upcoming things that you can splurge on the show that nobody else
knows? Yes. So I want to do a course, because that's the number one question I get everybody sees it and they see this vision of like what could be possible, but they're so scared of how to get started. And the, again, like the terminology and like you said, the contracting and shipping scares people. And with the United States Post Office, it's really so easy. So, but I think people have to get over their fear and kind of learn as they go. And so I want more than anything to put together an online class, a downloadable tutorial on how to get up and running with consignment. And I have kind of the framework outlined, but it hasn't been fully developed yet. And so as soon as it is, I will be going live with that and it'll be on my website and available as a downloadable. And I'm really excited for it. And that's one of those things that, again, time and balance, like sitting down and writing, finding time to do that is really challenging. I can like move around and do a million things at once, but when it comes to like focusing and writing and finding time to do that, it seems harder to carve out. So I'm working on getting the time fleshed out to finish it.
So I think what you should do is verbally like get like an app that'll translate it and talk. So that way you could be like doing the dishes and talk and have it type it for you.
Just that is really smart. And
I'm like, I want you to do the course. Come on, woman.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Yes, no, I will look into that. And it's funny because in my day job, I'm always like, we do a lot of notes. It's like fundraising. And I'm always like, who did you talk to? Use the dictation. It'll write up your notes for you. And I don't know why I never thought to do that myself.
Because you weren't thinking about it. But yeah, because I know when Posh Fest, if nobody knows about that, it's coming up. And there was a couple people that were talking about consigning. And that was what really got me to like look into it was like, okay, wait a minute. People hate, because I don't know about you, but I love going to yard sales, but I hate having my own yard sale. Like, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to that. So if I had a storefront, I would be like the most perfectionist storefront. Like, I'd freak out. Somebody would put thing in the wrong spot and I'd be like, no, it doesn't go there. You know, but I hate yard sales and I hate setting up. Like, I have to set it up. When we do a yard sale, my husband will do, it's funny because he actually does the selling and I set up because I can't stand him setting it up. I'm like, no, it's got to be a certain flow. So
yeah,
I could totally like the consigning to me, just I could see other people being like, oh, yard selling is so much work. Having a yard sale is, it's so much work. So why not have somebody go through and pick up the stuff and pay, you know, you get paid for it. And it's like, absolutely, consigning is amazing. And I'm like, come on, come out with the course. I want to know.
Yeah, you're inspiring me.
I want all the little dirty secrets that you have, because your business has definitely gone from like this little small little thing, and you've grown it in just a year's amount of time, which is just so inspiring compared to like me, that's been like 14 years and I'm still feel like I'm back at day one.
Oh, thank you. But I'm always amazed at what you're doing too. And I think, again, it's just about what interests you and inspires you and kind of me. I'm a people person and I can tell you are too. And it's all about like talking to people and learning what works and just building those relationships. And so that's really the secret to my success, I think, is just befriending everybody and stealing ideas.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that you bring that up about the friend. I always thought, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, in this business I thought you could be like almost an introvert and be like, oh, okay, I could just totally run this business with just my family and that's it. And it's like, no, you have to make those connections, you have to be out there. And then when people are sitting there going, oh, well, what do? You have to be like, oh, well, I'm a reseller, I buy this. And you have to be open and make that connection. Do you
find that? Absolutely. And people want to trust who they're doing business with. So you have to be open enough to, you know, forge that relationship so that they trust you and come back to you and think of you.
That's very true. You've just got some gems of wisdom. I'm not even joking.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This has been super fun. I know you're a very busy woman, so I'm gonna let you go, and hopefully we can have you back on, especially when you get this course done and advertise your
Yes,
course for you. I'm like,
I'm
we're gonna
looking
put you on
forward to
the
it. No, this has been a really great time to spend with you. So thank you for the questions, and it's really exciting. And it's funny because I love podcasts, and I think that there's so much information available on podcasts that people don't always take advantage of either. And I can talk for hours, so
I
you want to do a spot?
think. All right.